7.9.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
stop
right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9 this wonderful Saturday morning. I am Jarmin Leitner with First Thursday Jacksonville and President of Harvest Intervention Services. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties this morning, so just bear with us as we get some of these things together. I'm in the studio with Dr. Danford, the Jacksonville Urban League. Good morning, Dr. Danford.
Good morning.
And joining us on the line is Larry Williams, who is still traveling. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday. I hope you all can hear me. This is not radio at its best, but we do what we have to do to make sure we can keep going.
Yes.
It's a lot of things going on in and around Jacksonville and the world. There's the shutdown is still alive and well, and there seems to be no end in sight. So we are hoping that we can get something accomplished here over the weekend, get people back to getting paid and back at work. You know, the country can't run itself, so let's hope that the cooler heads intervene and we get a settlement this weekend. So I'm going to pitch it back over to John.
Okay, yes. So do you know anybody that's affected by the shutdown, Dr. Danford? Anybody who's...
I really don't. I know, for one, I had an opportunity to travel out to Pasadena this week.
Okay, that's right. You went out to the which bowl game was it?
Well, not to the bowl game, to the Rose Bowl parade.
Okay, to the parade.
Yeah, the incomparable Florida A&M University Marching 100 performed,
right.
And of course my son is the tuba player there.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
So that was a great experience. And it looked like the shutdown
was affecting any of that.
I mean, they had 90,000 people.
Wow,
it was unbelievable experience. And just happy to do that.
To be able to take it. Wow. So, but
be back in the saddle.
Uh-huh. Out west. So even with the shutdown, some of the ones who aren't working, it's my understanding that they still will get paid just later on. They have to wait on their paycheck.
Most times, my understanding is after every shutdown, they pay people retroactively.
Okay.
But in the meantime, you have to survive. Well, yeah. And so, of course, we know that many people live paycheck to paycheck. That's just a common occurrence. You don't have to be at work for the federal government.
Right.
Well, but fortunately for those that are with the federal government, there's some unbelievably great benefits associated with working with the federal government. So even if they're... shut down right now, they'll get their money down the road.
Right,
so tell them to hang on.
Hang in there. Well, this is kind of an inconvenient time, too, but being Christmas holiday and not being able to get paid.
I know, but Christmas shouldn't be a time when you're spending all your money, right?
That's true.
We talked about that, so.
That's
true.
Right, it's true, but people really were probably disappointed.
That are being affected by shutdown and it's not a something that you want to have happen regardless of what time of the year it is. As Doc mentioned, a lot of people do live paycheck to paycheck, and whether you are or not, You know, you want to be at work, you want to be getting paid and doing your job. And when, you know, you have a situation where, you know, Congress and the president are at odds as to, you know, how to resolve this situation. And it all rests, you know, let's be realistic. It all rests on the demand by the president for $5 to $6 billion to continue building his wall, which is ridiculous. So, you know, let's move on, you know, from that. And hopefully, again, that we can get some cooler heads at the table over this weekend and get this thing resolved. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, Larry, you've been away a while, but this week, since we're switching over to some political stuff here, interesting week with some new political ads.
Oh yes,
that we're seeing on TV, and one in particular targeting Anna Brochet.
Yes, I saw that the other night.
What is that? The Jeopardy?
The Jeopardy. It's a play on the Jeopardy game, and it's sponsored by Jacksonville on the Rise, and it says to fire Anna Brochet at the end of it.
Is that a pack? Whose pack? Whose pack is that?
Jacksonville on the Rise?
Right.
I believe it's the mayor's.
It's the mayor's pack? Oh, okay. So, wow.
Well,
it was interesting, Larry.
Interrupting again, but I don't, you know, whoever pack it is, it's obviously a you know, threat really to council member Brochet as to saying, hey, you know, if you're even considering running for mayor, just forget it.
This
is something that we need to keep an eye on, because it's not I guess everything is fair in politics. So apparently, you know, when we can do and say anything we want as politicians and not be held accountable, and it all starts from the top.
Okay, there's not a campaign that's been launched by Anna Brochet as of yet to run for a political.
The last day to throw you name in a hat to qualify would be what, January 11th?
Okay, so January 11th, so there's still some time. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Okay.
But I know that
it's interesting, the timing of the ad, though, isn't it? With the time being January 11th, and all of a sudden we hear these ads that, you know, and Jama sent me a clip of it, and I thought it was humorous at first, and then as it went on, I see that they were pretty much serious about what's going on in that advertisement. And also, you know, talking about politics, Doc, I see where Katrina Brown, former council member Katrina Brown, filed a complaint against her former lawyer because he discussed a federal plea deal in cooperation with the state without her agreeing to do that, and also she claims conflict of interest in that deal. What's going on there?
Well, according to the paper, Brown files complaint against her former lawyer. Apparently, what little information I've received is that the lawyer wanted Katrina to do a plea deal that would include
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it would include in the plea deal.
I'm fumbling around trying to figure out how to say it.
Okay.
But apparently, they were targeting. They're targeting Garrett, Councilman Garrett Dennis, and Anna Brochet.
Yes,
in the Sunshine, so violation of the.
Going on there.
Wow.
I guess they wanted her to, turn state evidence as on council member Garrett Dennis and some other council members on the Sunshine Law. And that's really interesting to see how that is playing out. I guess if she'd agreed to the plea deal, then they'd never said whether she would be, what her sentence would be reduced or negated.
Okay. Well, they said she would get probation and et cetera. I wonder if Reggie Brown, former Councilman Reggie Brown, if he's out there, if they've contacted him in terms of offering a plea deal.
Okay, so just for our listeners who may not know what's going on with the Katrina Brown case, you know, she's a former councilwoman who has been indicted for several charges of fraud. So now up to date.
Had to do with the barbecue sauce plant out on the west side. And Larry, she was
misappropriation
supposed to create,
of funds is what
supposed
I understand.
To create a certain number of jobs, which they did not do.
So what is a plea deal then? So at this point, what exactly does that mean?
That means you're guilty. A plea deal means that you say that you're guilty of a lesser charge. And we see that a lot in the criminal justice system, particularly with people that cannot afford to pay for a lawyer.
Okay.
When, you know, everyone...
So you can't afford to pay to win?
You can't pay to win. So what happens is they get people to do a plea bargain, and oftentimes people do plea bargains and are not guilty, but they're in a situation where it's
about bad money.
They just don't have the means, the financial means, other than whatever the state provides. And so, in this particular case, Katrina Brown is complaining and file a complaint against her lawyer, and they did release her lawyer from the case, so she should be getting another state appointed lawyer.
Okay.
But it's that time of year. This is 2019. We were looking forward to 2018 ending, but hey, this thing is getting hotter and hotter right here in January.
Yeah, well, Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to you. And,
thank you.
We're welcoming this new year and what it has to bring.
And, of course, we'll talk about the murder rate because we start over here in January. So we're in.
So you have a number for the end of 2018.
Yeah, it's over 103. We'll talk more.
We'll talk about that when we come back from our first break. Okay. Well, this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we're going to take a music break. We thank you all for tuning in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and we'll be back right after this music.
Very interesting.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your season. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. To bless the world as it flows.
He that has begun
a great work
in you
is faithful to perform it.
God is faithful to perform.
Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. Get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. God is doing great work. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. Doing a great.
All right, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we were, before the break, Dr. Danford, you were touching on the homicide tracker and how many murders we have for 2018, and guess we have a couple already for 2019.
Oh, my goodness. I know that Mad Dads is marching this today, actually,
okay.
Because of several murders we had during the holiday season.
Okay.
Trying to get a handle, see who's pulling the trigger. And unfortunately, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to close a case. You know, people are murdered and you don't know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they say in Who Done It.
Does that become a cold case? I remember that show.
A cold
I used to
case, mm-hmm. Yes. Right, and so we had for 2018 a little over 103 murders, with a number of others, maybe 15 or 20, that have not been classified as a murder. And you know, we talked about that mm-hmm. some time ago. People are dead, but through the process, they have not been classified as actually murdered. So, but along the same lines, in terms of the legal criminal justice system, there's a lot of uncertainty around the restoration of voting rights.
Yes, we see that.
For felons, people, you know, we passed legislation.
And we were excited about Amendment 4.
Amendment 4, yes.
Amendment 4 passed for ex-felons, and then January 8th,
they can go down and pick up a form and
register.
Well, actually, they're not registering. They're just filling out the paperwork.
Yeah, they're filling out the paperwork.
And the supervisor of elections
will collect those
and hold them, and I hope they don't lose them, because we don't know how much time it's going to take the governor, really, and Secretary of State.
Right, is the one who actually approves the registration. So throughout this process or this amendment passing, you know, I just learned that I didn't know that there was a second layer to that. You know, once you register and submit your form, you're not a registered voter. You know, the Secretary of State, there's another step that has to approve you. So they, according to the article, there's still some question of whether the ex-felons will actually be able to be registered, even though the amendment passed, which is a big question mark. You know,
well, the big question here in Jacksonville is we've got an election coming up in the spring, and there may be a reason to keep these individuals from voting. And you know, we've had voter suppression. We continue.
Oh, Doc, come on! You know there's not a reason to keep these guys from voting, but it is kind of comical when you think about it that the population, the citizens of Jacksonville and Duval County. And I think this is a statewide referendum.
Yes.
Passed, and you know, as it comes to reality, and on January 8th, then as Jarman was pointing out, there's another layer to, you know, registering and getting on the voting rolls. So as Doc mentioned, there could be, you know, some conspiracy here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But it sounds like it might be something at play there if they do indeed hold up the voting rights of those individuals that have been restored.
Well, we need to stay on top of it and also keep in mind that people that are eligible to vote, many don't vote. And, I mean,
right,
they
encourage
they have
those
their
who,
rights.
Who have their rights and are actually registered and
actually
can be registered
registered and
to vote.
But you know, when you look at what's going on in this country, in this city, in this state, people feel disenfranchised and just feel that their vote really doesn't mean a whole lot. You look at how much money they are raising, you know, I spoke to the mayor a few weeks ago, and he said he had about $3 million in his campaign wall chest. And I said, shoot, I turned around and asked him, I said, if you have all that money, why don't you, I said, my wife is running for reelection, why don't you give her some of that money? Of course, he walked off, of course.
Well, we're hoping that this the Amendment 4 will stand, and that the ex-felons will have their rights restored as it was indicated in that amendment when those who chose to vote went and voted and that amendment passed. And it's for the ex-felons who don't have a murder conviction or any sex offense, and they have served all of their time, including probation and parole. And we just encourage them to still go down and fill out the forms. We don't know what happens beyond that, right. But you know, you just have to do your part and take your step towards getting your
these voters
rights
might
restored.
Be serious and actually go vote. You know, it's just, I mean, you know, when you're talking about looking at when we get 38% participation of registered voters, that's a great thing. You know, that to me, that's a waste. I mean, you know, you're talking about 62% that aren't voting. Why? And you can talk about feeling disenfranchised all you want, but at the end of the day, if you're not voting, you know, you're not participating, then you're allowing someone else to make rules and legislation on your behalf, even though you're not participating.
Yes. And when the next election is in what month, Dr. Danford? Is it March?
I believe it's March. The primary? Maybe?
The primary, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's coming up in March. It'll be here before we know it.
Well, seems like we just got out of an election.
Yes, it does. And out of a holiday, and we're coming back into another holiday this month.
We've Martin got Luther King. Martin Luther King's birthday celebration. In a couple of weeks? And it's my understanding that we've got a lot of activities going on. And rightfully so. We've got a couple breakfasts taking place that I'm aware of on Friday, and the city has a breakfast on Friday, and then there are several organizations that have teamed up and having a breakfast on Friday as well. And then of course we have one Pastor Sampson is having a breakfast on, I believe it's on Saturday morning. And then, of course, we've got the parade and speak outs and youth involvement. So quite a bit going on. And people have asked me, well, why are we having breakfasts that conflict with each other? Well, I mean, we've got almost a million people, and we've got a million people in this area. There are enough of us. If we want to celebrate the legacy of Martin Luther King, then all of us can do it in our own ways. And I think that what Martin Luther King stood for is so relevant today. I looked at some of mm-hmm. King's quotes, and back in 1967, May of 67, he spoke up in South Carolina, and he said that we can't solve our problems unless there is a radical distribution of economic and political power. And, of course, mm-hmm. we haven't seen that. Certainly I have not seen it. And, of course, he says our struggle is for genuine equality, which means economic equality. And so we know that at our recognition of the works of Dr. King, in terms of the breakfast that we're going to have, is that we're going to talk about, a process, a real economic process for our communities. We see there's so much development happening in this, not only in mm-hmm. Jacksonville, but around Jacksonville. There's not a whole lot going on in the inner city and places where people are struggling from day to day. You know, we talk about whether the federal employee is going to get paid. You know, what about people that just, you know, they're living from day, no, not paycheck to paycheck. They're living from day to day.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we have people that, you know, when they wake up in the morning, what they're thinking about is surviving financially and otherwise. So,
so that's something that you have definitely mentioned. Is it's not equitable?
It's not equitable. And as a matter of fact, Dr. King mentioned the fact that this country has socialism for the rich and rugged individualism for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that interesting?
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about back in the 60s. And so when you look around now, we've got some socialism taking place in this country. We've got some communism. We've got working with the Russians and, you know, and the Chinese. And I mean, we're in some interesting times.
Well, Doc, you know, I think you hit on some great points there, and especially about the celebrations. You know, people need to get over the fact that somebody has to be at their celebration. You know, we should have as many celebrations as people want to have. And you know, it sounds like the one that you're speaking of, that you guys are involved with, is one that is going to talk about things that are pertinent to what's going on right now in Jacksonville and the people that need help, and especially the urban poor and poor people. And that, at the end of the day, these people are so often easily forgotten. And we need to make sure that their voices are still heard and listened to. And, you know, forget who's sponsoring whose breakfast. Are there any breakfasts on Monday, that Monday?
On that particular day?
Not that I'm aware of. There may be smaller events. But, again, as you said, let's have as many events as possible. This is a big deal. You know, I know we need to take a break here momentarily, mm-hmm. but, you know, when I think about, you know, a few months ago, had an opportunity to visit South Africa and go over to Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in a small cell, you know, trying to help his people.
Right.
Okay. Martin Luther King was assassinated because he was trying to help his people, and the last few months of his life, he was really into this economic equity. Many people say that was the reason he was assassinated, because he was dealing more with that. So we'll talk.
And so still today we're dealing with
rather than going to breakfast and singing "We Shall Overcome," which I've been involved in for the last 20 plus years, let's pull out a plan of action that will benefit our community.
Yes.
Amen to that.
All right. So we right. want to work towards
time
more.
Talking is over with. It's time for some action.
Some action. Some,
right. Towards economic equality for everyone. So on that note, Dr. Danford, we're going to take another music break. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Me calling your spirit, drawing me. Good and bad and joy. Same time. Confused, I don't understand.
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford.
I told you we are
experiencing technical difficulties.
I told you to eat that donut this morning.
Oh, we apologize. We're having technical difficulties. So if you have been trying to call in, we can't get you connected on the air. So they are working on it. So again, we're having a few technical difficulties. So we thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for tuning in. And we are back. We were talking about the Martin Luther King holiday coming up and just a push for economic equality and just, you know, treating people equally, you know, with respect and dignity and trying to get rid of these racial divides or anything that divides us as people. So looking forward to the celebration of the Martin Luther King holiday and all the breakfasts and meetings that may take place to hopefully shoot for some type of positive change. And I'm just moving forward. The Special Olympics is big in Duval County as well. Actually, the Special Olympics in Duval County is the largest in the state, and that's kind of dear to me because, you know, you get people of all disabilities that participate in this Special Olympics, and you get to see some of their athletic abilities and all the training that they go through. So they have the World Games that are coming up in March, and it's actually going to be over in the North Africa region, the Middle East. I know you went to Africa, but the World Games are going to be in that region this year, and then the state Summer Games are going to be in the Orlando area. So I look forward to that.
Oh boy, that should. Speaking of Orlando, my goodness, I didn't realize that they have about 72 million tourists.
I can believe that. Well, this is actually Lake Buena Vista. Have you heard of Lake Buena?
That's Disney.
Okay, so that's Orlando. But
yeah,
but
you're talking about economic impact. Oh my goodness! And
well, it should. We should see that when we go to Orlando, right?
Right. Well, and it speaks to whether we have. Hey, Larry. It speaks to whether we have something in Jacksonville that people really want to see. I see where they decided not to bring the ship, the USS Adams, into Jacksonville. The Navy decided not to give it to us. So maybe I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So, but they will continue to try to find a ship to place out in the St. John's River. So I just don't know about that.
I don't think Larry's on the air. Okay. No. No, we can't hear you on the air. So Larry's talking still through the phone. So again, we having some technical difficulties. And
can you hear me now?
Okay, yes. We can hear you now. Okay.
Can you hear me now? Yes, we hear you now.
I was on the wrong toggle.
Since you're on,
this,
Larry,
we're trying to
come
make
on
this
now.
Work.
Yeah, since you're on, come on, give us some words of wisdom.
Well, you know, one thing is I'm looking at that the as we talk about the shutdown of the government, and at the same time we got the national debt under President Trump is $2 trillion.
$2 trillion?
And there's more, right? He's asking for more money, so
right.
Wow.
You know, but we're still trying to find, you know, $5-6 billion. He's not even sure how much he wants, but $5 or $6 billion to add to the wall, which is I think it's estimated that he wants a total of $25 billion. So they've given him 1.9, and now he wants 6. So shoot, probably by the time the next president is fulfilling his thing, he'll have that $25 billion.
And then we'll be more in debt, right? We'll have more of a debt at that particular time if that happens.
Well, I hope, you know, Larry, being, you know, as a former veteran. Well, not a former veteran. I'm a veteran, but as
formerly active. You are formerly active, but you are veteran.
Yeah,
now.
But you know, certainly in the military during the 1960s, and you know, walking through the airport, and I see the young men now, 18, 19, you know, with their uniforms on, you know, and you know, getting ready, maybe going over to Iraq, Afghanistan, and I tell you, it's really, it's really sad on one hand, in terms of the waste. You know, we're sending, you know, our military to places where there's no win. There's no win. There's no win at all. And many of our folk come back and, you know, with PTSD and, you know, having all kinds of problems, readjusting. And we've seen that over the many years, certainly after the, you know, the Vietnam experience with all of the PTSD and the disillusionment veterans have experienced, are experiencing. You know, it's just unfortunate. So, you know, let's get our military policies together here. For the sake of
that seems like the last thing that's on this administration's mind is the military, unless they're
protecting the border.
Yeah,
right.
They sit down to protect the border from immigrants who have sticks and rocks.
Well, I think I told you, Larry. I shared with you. I have a friend who's an immigrant. She said that they're going to get in. So I mean,
of course.
And that was years ago when she came over from another country.
Yeah, actually, the president changed. You know, really became persistent after some of the conservative talk show hosts told him that he needed to follow through on his campaign promise. And of course, he promised that Mexico would build this wall for him, and he wanted a pretty wall with nice nice gates. The only gate he's going to get is when we all go up to see if we can get into the gate of heaven. So we'll see. That's about the only gate. Well, I'm not going to say that. I can't determine who's going to get the call. Who's going to be able to come in or stay out. So I guess it depends on your deeds, what you've done, you know, to help others. And as Martin Luther King said, as long as there is poverty in this world, no man can be totally rich, even if he has $1 billion.
Well, you know, it doesn't depend on your deeds. It depends on if you choose Christ and you serve God, you know. So, you know, people have to make their choice and have a relationship with God through Jesus. And that's the choice that they get to make. They have the free will to do that. So even those good or bad deeds, even if we do good deeds, sometimes on a good day, we still aren't good enough. So thank God for his mercy.
Wait, now I'm doing good deeds and... is he going to let me in? I mean, how do you
That's know? Your relationship
how do you get
with
a,
him.
How do you get a ticket? How do you get a ticket to heaven there, Larry? You may know.
You continue doing good deeds. That's how you get that ticket, I assume. But, you know, don't go out and do a good deed, one good deed, and then do five negative things.
So, okay. You
know, that's not going to get you in there for sure. That's a good way to not make it at all.
Well, speaking of good deeds, we have some researchers who are looking into new innovative ways to detect cancer early. And I think it's a phenomenal way to try to detect cancer if they are able to get past this trial stage. And it's utilizing a breathalyzer that's designed to detect multiple cancers, and they're testing this in the UK. So, Dr. Danford, did you know that several illnesses are known to create signature smells? So this breathalyzer will detect the smell of the particular illness. And in this particular article, they said that, you know, some smells that they reported, like thyroid disorders, it can smell like baked bread and acetone. And they said that the breath of diabetics can smell like rotten apples. So this breathalyzer, I guess they kind of program, breathalyzer to detect the smells, which would link it to the particular disorder.
So, Larry, you've been, you know, talking about diabetes. You know, we've been on that kick. So,
back in November, yes.
So, you're saying that there are some smells associated with diabetes?
There are smells associated with illnesses, period. Okay, so several illnesses.
So we don't have to go around smelling people to see if we smell something on someone. We say, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, he smells like tangerine.
Yeah.
What does he have?
Cheap cologne.
You have to know what the smell is. he smells like, oh my goodness. It's called a breath biopsy. So it's a 2-year trial for this clinical device, and hopefully it will be successful to be
somebody
able to,
trying to get paid again.
Well, if it can detect the cancer, then let them get paid. Hey, we have people that want to get that illness detected early so that it can be treated. So it's a
let's just hope and pray that is not a scam. And you know, it's you know, when we get to these deals, and as Doc mentioned, I've been working with the pharmaceutical companies, and you know, it takes about 10 years to bring a product from incubation to putting it on the market, and they're saying that they can do this in 2 years. Man, I want to see that.
Well they're going to start out with you know, certain cancers, you know, stomach cancers and the esophageal cancers with the test, and then they'll move forward to cancers such as in the prostate, the kidney, you know, and more detrimental cancers.
Did they identify what those smells are yet? That's...
Well, I just identified a couple. They haven't identified the smells for those particular cancers. The article only highlighted the smells of diabetics and those who suffer from thyroid disorders.
How do you smell racism?
Ooh.
I mean, what does racism smell like?
R-A-C-I-S. Oh, you say smell.
He says smell. How do you smell that? You want a breathalyzer for that? I think actions can determine that.
Yes. Well, hey. I'm going to leave that one alone. That's too deep for me.
Yeah, we're going to... Maybe we need to take a break, Larry.
That sounds like we might need to take a break here. But we don't have the phones working, so we're going to not have the... what is it? The Entrepreneur Corner. And Michael, I know you're listening, so call in next week for the Entrepreneur Corner. We'll talk about entrepreneurship in the next segment. And thank you all for your indulgence in our... technical difficulties.
Yes, we're finagling things this morning to keep Larry running smoothly. You're doing a great job, Larry. So we apologize again to the listeners that the phone lines are down, so we will not open up the phone lines for our Entrepreneur Corner in the next segment. But we are going to go into our next music break, and this is our final segment of the hour. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Oh my. And you are welcome in. You're welcome in this place. I'm loving you.
All right. Yes, Lord, you are welcome into this place. And we are back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Lightner in the studio with Dr. Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we are in our final segment of the show. And again, this would normally be our entrepreneur corner, but we are having technical difficulties this morning with our phone line. So we do apologize, but we do thank our faithful listeners and callers. And we just ask that you tune in again on next week. So Dr. Danford, while we were off the air, you highlighted something else that we didn't get to touch on earlier in the show about the shutdown. And I don't understand how people are furloughed and aren't getting paid, but it says that the top officials are still going to get their money. They're going to get raises.
Yeah, the top cabinet officials as well as the vice president will receive $10,000 and above. I mean, it's an automatic pay increase. So, for an example, Vice President Pence will go from $270,000 to $283,000 automatically, because that's how it's set. But again, it's the little people that seem, you know, to always
end up, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, always
again,
end up affected.
Martin Luther King said, socialism for a few.
So even during the shutdown, the top people will continue to get paid and get an increase.
And get an increase.
While others are waiting on their paycheck until
they satisfy the president's demand for $5 billion to put a wall, whether it's a...
And he wants to be a pretty wall.
He wants to be a pretty wall.
Not just any kind of wall. Not,
this is crazy.
Yeah, all seriousness. So, you know, again, I know it's an automatic deal where these folks get their raises and things, but it sure is a bad look on Congress and the cabinet members who are going to receive these raises when folks are sitting at home and can't go to work, who really want to do some work. And these guys aren't working anyway because they have the government is partially shut down, so they have nothing to do. They can talk about legislation and all that type of stuff, but who's going to implement anything?
Well, they have a lot to do. They need to worry about some things that are happening. I mean, you've got to...
Well, they haven't worried out these past 2 years, so why should they start?
Well, they shouldn't worry, no, but it's not business as usual, I don't believe, when you've got this new Congress. You've got some dynamic, exciting people who have been elected to Congress, and we see evidence of that. Nancy Pelosi, who is in charge now, what a career, but what we're hearing is, you know, impeachment coming up again. I don't know about that.
That word is still.
Yeah.
How long it takes to do an impeachment?
Yeah, no, how long no does one, it take to no do one, an impeachment?
Yeah, no one's interested in that.
We need to get the government reopened, get people back at work, and then we need to, you know, start solving some of these critical problems that not only America has, but especially, you know, urban areas and economic economically, we need to get that going, and you know, not just in on the nation side, but also right here in Jacksonville. The distribution of wealth is lopsided in Jacksonville as it is across the country.
Yes,
very, very much so. And again, as we approach the Martin Luther King's weekend celebration, yes, we need to be mindful. That Dr. King was about improving the lot of poor people. And so when we look in Jacksonville, when we look around, there is not a priority really to, you know, seriously do something about poverty in certain parts of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I listen, Larry, you may not be aware of this, but they had a special on a couple of nights ago in regards to the Kid Hope Alliance in terms of the funds that have been allocated to work with youth and possibly help deal with the crime situation. And I know that a number of organizations that are located in the hood received $10,000 grants to help eliminate, help address some of the crime in these urban neighborhoods. I don't see how $10,000 can help. I don't understand it. But I guess what we're saying is that at least the administration tried to put some funds out into these neighborhoods. And, you know, we need to take this serious because, the city talks about all of the funds that are being allocated to help these situations. And mm-hmm. then, of course, when you look, we're talking about equality of opportunity. There's no equity. There's no in terms of how the city disperses the resources. You know, it appears that the richer you are, the easier it is to do business and to get Absolutely. Stuff going.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Well, even across. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, a couple of points that Doc touched on, especially the $10,000. Come on. That's not enough to get a program started for a month. I mean, by the time you hire people to run the program that you have, unless you're going to get the whole, everybody volunteers, there should be a better way to disperse the funds to, urban areas and as I call it, the hood areas, where they can really do some good. I mean, to me that seems like, it's more pacifying, some folks because of, they've been marching or something or making this election year or something. So we can say that, we gave some money to them and those programs didn't work. No, they didn't work because you only gave them $10,000.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do, we're looking at now, and we're going to make a big announcement at Martin Luther King Breakfast with a plan to do something. There's no economic development taking place in many of these areas. There are no jobs available. Mm-hmm. There are food deserts.
And the education at those and the quality of education at the schools in those neighborhoods are not high quality. And speaking of that, there is an article that talks about that that disproportionate. I guess it's not equitable, like you were saying, that the difference in the communities. There was a lawsuit filed in 2009 by parents who claimed that the state wasn't properly funding the schools, and the Supreme Court just now rejected that lawsuit to say that, the state wasn't living up to its constitutional requirement to provide a high quality education for all.
Is that the Supreme Court of
the Florida Supreme
Court? Okay.
The Florida Supreme Court, based on the high quality education that's required for all students across the state, that particular lawsuit has been rejected, even though it was filed in 2009, almost over 10 years ago, by parents who said that this is not equitable. There's not a high quality education that's for everyone.
Okay, so it would be.
They need to take that on to the U.S. Supreme Court because the case in Washington was, the schools, I mean, the state was reprimanded and told to totally fund the public schools adequately. And so they had to go back and find, almost, $5 billion that they needed to correct the situation in public schools as far as education and closing the gap in the education between public and private schools. It's, they need to continue fighting that because it's not right for folks, poor people not to have the same equal opportunity to education that others do.
It's not a priority for them, Larry. I keep, okay?
then we need to make it a priority.
Well, it's not, fair across the board, whether poor people, middle class, everybody needs to have an equal opportunity at high quality education, you know, whether you're on grade level, below grade level, above grade level, those children's needs should be met, and they should be given an opportunity to maximize their potential. So,
I got one other question for Doc. Doc, where's the breakfast that you all look?